This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio 670, The Score. Let's get to the St. Charles Chrysler Dodge Jeep and Ram Hotline, home of the real deal. And there we find Theo Epstein, the Cubs president of baseball operations. Good morning, Theo. How are you?
Good morning, Theo.
Morning, guys. How's it going?
Tough trip here, and we know that that there's a feeling that you know, as important as these games are, you know, you're dealing with a lot, and you're a little bit undermanned at this point. Can you attribute the recent struggles to that?
No, I don't. I mean, I don't think so. I don't think that's really fair. We have our challenges, but every team has their challenges, and you know, honestly, we've been essentially a 500 team for months now. So, you know, even when we were pretty healthy and guys were, you know, had fewer obstacles and not coming off injuries and things like that, we had, you know, we didn't do what we needed to do to separate. We had chances, you know, 4 or 5 games up, and at different points in the season, including, you know, I think in early July, we had a chance to kind of put this thing away before the trade deadline, thinking that other teams wouldn't do anything at that point if we played well then, and we didn't. And the teams in our division didn't really do anything, but it hasn't mattered. They've played better than we have since the trade deadline. So I don't think it's, you know, I don't think there's any excuse for how we're playing. And certainly this time of year, every team has their challenges. We're just not getting it done.
It's frustrating, Theo, to say the least, for Cubs fans to watch. One day it's pitching, the other day it's not hitting enough. When you watch it and you know what you're seeing better than we do, is there any one area that's most consistently inconsistent?
I just think, you know, our failure to sort of play up to our ability, play up to our potential. I mean, we just lost 2 games in a row to a team that, I think we're more talented than them. We have 150 run differential better than them. We were just caught from behind in the wild card standings by a team that our run differential is over 100 runs better than, but they're playing better ball. You know, they just beat us 5 out of 7 in huge games, and we put them back in the race. So it's just the inability to show up and play winning baseball for the whole to be as good as the sum of the parts is not right now. And, you know, it's, I think our guy said it last night, we're not playing good baseball. We're playing bad baseball. And, you know, we're second most errors in the league. The most outs on the bases in the league, those things chip away at your margin for error and sort of take away from your, you know, when you do those things, you can't just roll out and have your talent show up and win games. And that's the reality of where we are at this point. So, you know, that's, you know, those are some of the attributes that have marked our play this year. So the only good news is we are, I think, very fortunate that we have a chance with a few weeks left here to change that script. And if we finally start playing good baseball on a consistent basis and show up every night and win a bunch of games, we can change the script and what the 2019 Cubs will be known for. And that's an opportunity that should not be taken lightly, because, you know, at this point in the season, I don't think any of us associated with this team are going to be, you know, proud of what our identity is here for the 2019 Cubs, what we're known for. Those things we just talked about, we have, you know, we're the only ones who can get ourselves out of this, and all we have to do is play really good baseball for a couple of weeks. So we should relish that opportunity to change the script here.
Theo, you came here to win a World Series. Obviously, you accomplished that goal, and you know it was a lot of fun to watch that happen, the build up to it, the seasons to that, and now obviously the goal shifts, and you want to do it again. Has this been, I can hear the frustration in your voice, has this been your most difficult season as the president of baseball operations?
Yeah, I think going back to the, you know, the way last year ended, spilling over to this winter and then this season, yeah, it's been extremely frustrating, and it has been for our fans too. So, and then you feel that responsibility as well. You want to put a team out there that plays a quality brand of baseball, that, you know, doesn't make those errors, doesn't make those outs on the bases, that that gets the most out of its ability, and we clearly haven't done that, and so it's, you know, immensely frustrating for me, because I feel that responsibility on behalf of our fans having to watch this. So yeah, it's been really frustrating. I think, you know, if you go back 12-13 months, it's just been marked by underachievement, uninspired play, and you know, that applies to us in the front office too. It's just, you know, everyone's in this together. It's just been uninspired and unacceptable, and this is clearly our chance to get it right. And you know, like I said, we can't take that lightly, but this is not what we want to be putting out there on the field right now, and our guys know that too. It's just no one feels good about coming out second year in a row, you know, playing this way down the stretch, and these last games against the Padres and Brewers, I mean, these are big games, and I honestly think we're playing teams that we should beat, and we're, you know, falling down and just not showing up once we get down in these games.
Theo, you bring up Nico Horner in the midst of a pennant race out of necessity, maybe out of desperation, but this is a kid who had his big moment in his debut. What was the thought process there? Because there were a lot of considerations, I imagine, obviously rushing his development, but also service time can't be ignored. But you brought him up anyway, and he seems to look like he belongs.
Yeah, we had not anticipated bringing him up this year. You know, it's just his first full pro season. You know, I think we can be aggressive at times with our prospects, but even through that lens, guys, we believe in, you know, he hasn't even gotten a full year in because of the injuries that he's gone through. So he just hasn't had much time in the minor leagues at all, and so it wasn't something we had anticipated doing. It's, you know, clearly out of necessity first and foremost, and then our belief in him and his mental makeup and what he can do on the field. But, you know, with Javi out, and then Addison Russell getting the concussion, and then Dixon Machado, who would have been the next man up for sure, who's 27-year-old, besides his minor league free agent, having a really good year at AAA. He got hurt after, I think, right at the beginning of September as well. So, you know, your top three guys go down all of a sudden, and then it was a question of between, you know, Zach Short was our other AAA shortstop, and Zach had battled injuries this year and just wasn't, you know, quite playing at the top of his game, and Nico was. So we just felt like, you know, look, we had 21 games left or so. We had a couple game lead in the wild card race. At that point, you owe it to the team and the organization to put the best solution possible out on the field, regardless of, you know, whether the player's not quite fully there from a development standpoint. And then Nico's just got a special mental makeup. He's intelligent kid. He's got high emotional intelligence. He's really self-aware. He's fully engaged in his own development and his teammates and being the best he can possibly be. He's kind of got this it factor about him that he's earned just by the way he goes about his business and the way he treats people. Good things just tend to sort of happen to this kid and around this kid, and he's pretty unflappable. And you know, he's one of the few that we would have felt was actually ready to step in and not be overwhelmed by the situation.
When Steve Cishek had that bad game, when he gave up a single and then walked three guys in a row, walked in a run, Joe said afterward, there's so much that you don't know. And that was one of the things that was pointed out with Chris Bryant. And when the power outage occurred, and then he ends up getting a shot in his knee. How much of this are things that we don't know, and how much are things that we might understand?
How much of what?
How much of the struggles are things that we don't know? You know, guys going through issues like injuries.
Well, I think on an individual basis, I think that's applicable. You know, that's just sort of the nature of baseball. And it's always been that way. I mean, if you go, there's always things you don't know. If you go look at a great player's career, and there's a down year, an aberrational year in there somewhere, there's a pretty good bet if you go back in time and you look at it, there was some sort of issue, something off the field, maybe, you know, something going on in his life or bugging him at home. There was could have been a physical injury that he was managing all year. There's usually something, and it's not always patent. It's not always known at the time. Sometimes it's not even known until after the fact, or it's the type of information that maybe only the player knows, or maybe only the player and the club know. So I think that's applicable. That's not an excuse for how we've played this year, because every team has players dealing with physical issues, players who are not performing for one reason or another. So on a team-wide basis, I think our fans watch us play a ton. They've seen how we're playing and what we are, and I think there's more than enough information out there on the field to sort of reach your own conclusions about the game and how we're playing. So I didn't quite understand the nature of your question, but I hope that answered it.
I think with 17 games left, Theo, everybody understands the stakes involved here and what you're playing for. And in terms of down the stretch, do your conversations then with Joe become any more frequent or urgent on a regular basis, based on lineups, based on bullpen moves, based on decisions?
I mean, they're pretty constant. If you look at how well we communicate in the systems that we have, I don't know that's any more frequent. There sometimes will be sort of whether a player can play or not on a given day, because during the season there might be a tendency to give them that extra day and err on the side of caution. Obviously, when you're in this tight a race down the stretch, there's greater impact in getting that player's performance if indeed he can play up to or close to the accustomed level. So those can be as you get fewer games left on the schedule and the import of the games increases, those balancing acts can be tougher and tougher, and so there's more decisions. And there are times if I see something in a certain matchup, or if somebody in the office has some knowledge of a pitcher or a profile or something, might make a suggestion, you're more likely to make that suggestion this time of year. But it's just, the process hasn't changed. Joe's in charge of all on-field stuff and decision making, and we're there to support him.
Theo, you're used to being kind of a topic of romantic speculation, if you will, and with Dave Dombrowski getting fired in Boston, immediately your name's brought up, immediately Jed's name is brought up, people that have been there, and then we see Jason McLeod, and I don't know, is that a promotion or a lateral move for him? Why? What's going on? Is there anything going on? Is there any connecting of dots that needs to take place?
No, there's nothing going on at all. That was a lateral move for Jason that I felt was really good for the organization and good for him too. Jason is somebody who has interviewed for GM jobs in the past, but he hasn't spent a lot of time around the big league team before. For 20 years, he's been really dug in on scouting and player development. So I feel like this is sort of the last step of his development. So down the line, I'm not talking about Boston or right now, but down the line, if he gets another GM interview, he'll be better prepared. But, really this is about the organization and getting fresh perspectives and some change. All the things we talked about at the beginning of this interview, clearly for a long period of time, over a year now, we haven't been getting the most out of our talent. We haven't been getting the most out of our big league roster. So there's got to be some small things that we can tweak, adjust, do a little bit differently, short term, medium term, long term, to try to get more out of that. So Jason's a great baseball guy. He's a fresh set of eyes. If he's around the team more, it gives a new perspective that, maybe he'll say something that helps a player or helps the front office or helps Joe or a coach, just with a new set of eyes. And then going forward, he's great to be around. He's a really good culture builder. And I think having him around will only help the culture around the major league team. And then also it allows for the same fresh set of eyes and new perspectives in scouting and player development. And we've accomplished a lot in those areas, but there's clearly areas where we can do better. So this is the time of year when you make some adjustments in those areas. We're taking a fresh look at every aspect of the organization. So that's all that move was about. It had nothing to do with Boston. They've we're not at all linked or engaged with what's going on there, not any one of us.
What will be the priorities in searching for his replacement, and do you have internal candidates in mind, Theo?
Yeah, we do. We'll end up with some adjustments to the leadership structures in scouting and player development, with the goal being to preserve the best of what we've done, continue to enhance those strengths, and then look to address our weaknesses. It's player, we sort of rebuilt these departments 8 years ago, and obviously have continued to grow and adjust. But the player development landscape is changing more rapidly than it ever has, as long as I've been in the game, and sort of a generation of technology or MOs is turning over really sort of like every 6 months to a year these days. So it's important to really continue to modernize, and then and then fully embracing that can be, if you just keep the same exact structures and the same exact relationships and the same exact systems that you've had for 8 years, it's impossible to modernize, even if you think you are. So getting a fresh look, certainly looking at some people outside the organization, as well as some really strong internal candidates that we have, just to adjust our leadership structure to reflect the values and modernization inside a rapidly changing game.
Theo, we'll let you go and appreciate your time. Just curious on the way out, we often talk about the leadoff hitter, and we've been told that that's not a big deal, and people are like, no, it's been a vacuum, and guys have been going there, and it's almost a curse. Is that a real thing? Is that an imagined thing? Is that more of a media-driven story, or is there an actual vacuum going on?
Yeah, I think in the past, maybe too much has been made of it when looking at our club, because we, there was this sort of fondness, appropriately, for what Dexter Fowler did here, especially in 2016, and his ability to get on base. And then there wasn't that one guy atop the lineup. But there was, I thought, for a short period of time, some undue criticism, because I think we actually, we were getting on base at a really high level out of the leadoff clip just through a combination of players, because we had a team full of guys who got on base. And right now, I think the struggles that you're seeing in the leadoff spot are also just because we're struggling to get on base as a team. Like, if we had a lot of different options on guys who were having good years, who had the ability to get on base, you just throw one of them up in the leadoff spot without having to take away from your guys who can drive in runs, or 2-3-4 hitters. And we just don't – I think the struggles we have leadoff are just reflective of the fact that we're struggling to get on base this year as a whole. So it's awesome to have that prototypical leadoff guy. It is an important part of building an effective offense. But if you have a deep roster of guys who are all getting on base at a high clip, it's easy. You just mix and match. You can even play matchup up there. And what you lack in the sort of one tone setter at the top of the lineup, I think you make up for just by having good on base guys get on base. That's the single most important job of the leadoff hitter, just get on base. And so we don't have that. And then it's been like a worst case scenario this year at the leadoff spot, and that everyone that we throw up there goes through their period of not getting on base at all. So the numbers that we've had, it's shocking to me. And I feel really honestly embarrassed by just the on base numbers we've had at the leadoff spot. It's that's not the way at all to build an offense, to the point where, you roll back again, you might just want to consider taking any one of your best hitters and just throwing them up in the leadoff spot. Just the number one rule of lineup construction is just get your best hitters up top, bunch them together, get them up top in the lineup and let them do some damage. And with the on-base production we've been getting out of the leadoff spot this year, it's been certainly a detriment to our lineup. So no, I don't begrudge people making a big deal about it. It certainly is.
Thank you, Theo.
Thanks, Theo.
All right, guys. Take care.
That is Theo Epstein. He, of course, the Cubs president of baseball operations.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.